This is CliffCentral.com.
This Business Skills Conversation is done in association with USB Ed. Hi, welcome to the Business Skills Conversation. Today from 1 until 1:30, I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, hosting the show for today. Last week we had a conversation about cash flow liquidity with Ricardo Carvalho from USB Ed. Today's theme is integrity and leading by example, and I think just a great follow-on from the earlier leadership platform conversation with Advocate Tuli Mononsela. Our guest today in studio is Cynthia Schumann from USB Ed. Cynthia, wow, what a great CV and a great profile. Ethics Monitor, I love your Twitter handle, the Ethics Monitor. Tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of your involvement with the world of ethics and where that comes from.
Oh, that's a great question. It really emerged, I would almost say by default, out of a previous focus on leadership, appropriate for here, and recognizing way back when, sort of late 90s, that there was a real gap in terms of work and support for organizations at a practical level and at a level where ethics really added value. So while, of course, there are many disciplines that have contributed to the field of ethics, I really felt there needed to be more practical support for organizations that wanted to be more ethical.
So hence your focus is in the Ethics Monitor and the work that you do. So let's just start out. I mean, what's the link between integrity and ethics? I mean, we use these words sometimes, I believe, interchangeably. Yes. As if they are one and the same, synonyms of each other. How do those two connect in your mind?
You know, I think for all intents and purposes, I think they can be used interchangeably. If we want to be more technical, I would regard ethics as the bigger picture, of which integrity is one of the behaviors, one of the values that is hugely important. But having said that, one of the ways, and I did note it, in fact, in Advocate Madoncella's talk, one of the ways we can look at it that I think is really interesting is that where our behaviors are aligned with our values, that in fact reflects integrity. So I think I'm not sure it's critical how we look at it. Mm. In fact, the most important part is, can we just do it?
Yeah, and I think you raised some very valid points there or commentary on the alignment of values, because I think we often talk about integrity and ethics, but we don't actually connect the values, which is the, let's call it the conjunction, the stuff that joins all, yes, of those elements. And I think sometimes we have organizations that we talk about, we want to act with integrity, we're an ethical organization.
Yes.
But we don't understand what our values are as an organization, and therein lies a
indeed
challenge.
Indeed. Yeah.
So that's a good thing, and perhaps we need to talk a little about how we align those values. So how does one go about being a good role model in this world of ethics and integrity?
I think many of the points were superbly made in Adrian's previous conversation. And at some level, it's really quite straightforward. To be a role model, let me qualify, to be a positive role model, mm, one clearly needs to live, to really show that one is supporting the values of the organization or the country, as the case may be. You absolutely need to comply with legislation, rules, and regulations beforehand, not afterwards.
So it's not kind of a we fix it after the event. We make sure that we
indeed
comply.
Indeed. But I think a really telling point is that the position of leadership to be a positive impact has to be that we are leading to empower, to enable, and to uplift others, not that we're simply leading for personal gain and personal benefit.
Now, I mean, let's now translate that into the world of an SME and a businessman, a practical businessman who's sitting out there and saying, well, that's all fine and well, Richard and Cynthia, but how does this translate into my world as the businessman? I get up in the morning, I get up very early in the morning if I know a good businessman, and I'm off to the office, and I've got a staff, and we're working to keep customers happy and, you know, do the very best we can, and we go to sleep very late at night because we're working really hard to make it work in our business. you know, where do I find the time to be that good role model, and is that relevant as in a small business, or is that only relevant with the guys with a big corporate head office that have to worry about sitting in a board meeting and explaining to perhaps independent non-executives or somebody else that they actually did behave properly?
Yes. Look, I think the difference between the small business owner, as you explained, and the huge corporate, the difference is just the audience. The principles don't differ, whether the principle be fairness or accountability or respect or whatever the case may be. And here's the catch with the person, and I can hear it saying, you know, for goodness sake, get a grip. We're so busy and so stretched. Now I must start thinking about ethics as well and being a good role model as well. Here's the catch. You're being a role model in what you're doing. It just depends whether you're consciously being a good role model or whether you're unconsciously being a bit of an erratic role model. And, you know, clearly I would advocate being a role model on purpose. But by definition, as a leader, you are impacting the people around you.
There's that old saying that says, what you do screams so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying.
Indeed.
And I guess that applies in all organizations, but particularly in the smaller ones. People do watch when it's not so much of a talk shop, so
yes,
to speak, and it's more an action orientated business with the owner, the business manager, you know, the leader, all being the same person multiple roles,
yes,
rolled up in one person. I guess you could almost call it the schizophrenia of an SME,
yes,
having to play all those roles simultaneously. And so perhaps there, I guess the question, do you think ethics and that role modeling becomes more important as you have those different roles to try and keep them all in check and keep everything balanced?
I think it's definitely more important that it is a conscious role, because we could argue very clearly that wearing those different hats, one would have different primary responsibilities. But then I'd pose the question to you and say, but surely there's a common platform. Surely the common platform is that we conduct business honestly at all times. We do not countenance corruption under any circumstances. Now, that would underpin all those roles, but I think there needs to be that clarity, coming back to your earlier point of values. What do we stand for?
Yeah, and I think you've made a very valid point now. I would be very concerned if things started changing as the roles were different. So,
indeed,
let's call it true schizophrenia.
Yes.
So it's, as a leader in the business, we don't countenance bribery or corruption, but as a business owner, hey guys, if it makes the numbers better, go for it.
Exactly.
You don't want to have that dissonance inside your organization. So, I mean, how does one actually manage ethics effectively? I mean, we're talking here about ethical behavior, and it sounds very nice and up in the air, and all these softer issues and values and that. But let's get down to the brass tacks. How does a business person manage this? I mean, what do you do? What are the steps you take?
I must tell you, it's a deceptively great question, and something I encounter quite regularly that I will say to a potential client, won't you just talk me through your ethics management system? The answer I normally get is silence. And yet we would understand that core issues in a business, be that performance, cost, we're sitting here with a mining company, safety. If that's a core issue in the business, it is managed proactively. It's managed purposefully. It's managed with very clear goals in mind. And so your question is really important relative to ethics, because mostly ethics is not managed proactively, regularly. It's often, unfortunately, a sort of ad hoc reactive circumstance, which clearly is not managing it effectively. So, I mean, there are a number of things one would need to do to ensure it's managed properly. I'll touch on the most obvious one, given that it's acknowledged in King 3 and in the Companies Act, and that is that we should be assessing accurately, I add, assessing ethics in an organization and reporting on it. That would be one of the key steps.
I think for me that highlights, if something's sitting in the King 3 recommendations, one can very quickly see that that's going to become a way of doing business, and businesses, no matter what their size, would be expected to measure and manage appropriately and accordingly. We all know where the various King reports have taken us and how they've advanced our thinking in terms of reporting and I guess ultimately the sustainability of businesses is very, very closely linked to their ability to interpret and apply the principles of King 3. It's not always about the very letter of King 3, it's the spirit of King and the various King reports. Now, I mean, I guess the question then goes to, well, we've got ethics, they're out there, we've gone to some of the elements thereof. How do you leverage the value of ethics in a business? I mean, you know, do we do this just to be good corporate citizens and tick the triple bottom line in terms of values? Is there value to to ethics in a business, do you believe?
Again, it's a really important issue that I think is not, forgive the pun, not getting nearly enough airtime. And that is that to answer that, how do we leverage the value of ethics? Actually, as the business leader, you first need to be really clear about what is the value. Mm. And when one looks at that, the easy answer you'd get is that, well, you know, if we're ethical, we can minimize the risk of ethical failure. And of course, with that, we can minimize the associated negative costs and consequences. So the answer can and does come out quite easily in the negative. Mm. In the positive, if you were to say, okay, well, now, what are the values that you're striving for? Now, before you go and leverage something, you've got to know what it is. And there, although the answers are incredibly straightforward, I find that, again, there has not been as much in-depth attention paid to this to be able to easily articulate, well, actually, you know, if we're running an ethical organization, it's beneficial relative to every stakeholder group, whether it's investor confidence, client loyalty, employee engagement, whether it's even attracting, being able to attract top board members. Of course, that makes sense. And if one looks at it in terms of risk management, of course, it improves risk management. But important things like, you know, if one's looking at finance, you know, you've got easier access to capital. You probably even got reduced cost of capital. But crucially, if we had to sum it up, why does ethics make great business sense? Because it builds trust, it enhances your reputation and your brand equity.
Okay, well, that sounds like very important outcomes that I would want as a business person. Ellis, you had a thought?
Hi, Richard. Hi, Cynthia. I've just snuck in here.
I'm
curious to understand from your perspective, Cynthia, why is it often the case that issues around ethics often arise in hindsight as a sort of a rear view mirror situation? Classic example, you know, we had MTN with this issue in Nigeria. Obviously, the whole thing bubbles for some months and then eventually the CEO has to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
But there's what you could call a phase of sort of intransigent, not wanting to believe that something wrong has happened. Why is it, is that often the case? Why can't there be a sort of preemptive look at what might go wrong in most organizations?
You make such an important point, and we need to recognize that if the organization as a whole, crucially, of course, the leadership then, if they have not chosen to focus on ethics in, as you say, in a proactive manner, then we land up with this sort of reactive knee-jerk thing. And while one certainly wouldn't have wished that huge fine on MTN, I always want to add that, for goodness sake, when they did not do what they needed to do with registering those SIM cards,
yes,
there's no misunderstanding here. They knew that they were in breach of legislation in Nigeria. They knew. So this was not an accident. And what that really prompts me to say is not simply that it's now reactive, but that one has countenanced misconduct on purpose. So the need to address ethics at a really core level for me is glaring in that case.
And just for me to understand, or whoever else is listening, is ethics and governance synonymous?
I think that for most purposes, I really think you can use them interchangeably. I think that corporate governance can be distinguished because we would so closely associate that with King, and especially now with King 4 coming out in November. So corporate governance really as a set of guidelines that is speaking to the role of directors, of prescribed officers. Ethics, of course, doesn't only speak to that audience in an organization. I say ethics applies from the chairman to the most junior employee.
Okay. I think that's the one thing that always appeals to me, is that no matter who you are, the ethic question or the ethics question gets asked, you know, have you behaved consistently with the values of the organization, no matter who you are in the organization? But how does this relate to, let me call it the and you spoke earlier about the negative and the positive. I mean, I, you know, immediately the thoughts of the public relations team come to mind and managing the spin when it goes wrong,
yes,
when the ethics becomes a little bit of a challenge, and we've got to try and figure out how we're going to manage this. And
yes,
yeah, I always, you know, ask myself the question when you see a comment from an environment, a corporate or whoever it may be, and you kind of go, well, is that an ethical statement? Is that a valid and true statement? Or is that just the spin on the situation?
Yes. Yes.
What's your thought in this space? I mean, how does a PR team manage ethically? I mean, this is a real challenge. You know, how much do you say?
Yes. I think the question's really pertinent given the fact that we can't realistically ever claim that we can eliminate ethical or the risk of ethical failure in the organization. It can occur. So the question arises, when there is an ethical failing, how do you deal with it? And you know, if the choice is spin or something else, I'm really in the or something else. And I think to pick up a prominent word out of Advocate Madden Seller's talk, the first thing we do is, she used the word acknowledge, I would say admit. Can we not only admit, can we apologize? Now, quickly, your legal team is saying, you can't apologize. It's admitting liability. Actually, in human terms, yes, apologize. Take accountability. We absolutely have to make amends, but I always add a fifth A. I have this little methodology.
I was going to say, I'm counting the A's. I'm on number four. Okay.
Yes, there are five. And the fifth one is, don't do it again.
So let's run those five through. So the first one is?
Admit.
Apologize.
Take accountability.
Take accountability.
Make amends. And don't do it again.
Sounds okay. Like public protector.
Oh, that's, I wish.
That in essence is what her office is all about.
Yes.
Yes. Accountability, you know.
Yes.
Crucial.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, I mean, the ethics in any scenario is governed by the set of values that one applies. Now, I read a list of six ways to build influence and lead with integrity, and I'm going to read you a set of statements, and I'd like your comment on each one. The first one was, one needs to establish an impeccable standard of excellence, set high standards, and showcase excellence within your organization. And they effectively, what they're saying is, that's how you make sure that there's integrity within your environment. The next one was, deliver on the results that you promise. So if you're an ethical leader and you're taking a stand, actually make sure that the results that you promise are actually delivered upon. The third one is, you need to value people and nurture relationships, because that's what ethics is, the backbone of ethics. The fourth one was, promote strategic cooperation, which I found an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth, resolve conflict quickly and effectively. And I thought to myself, wow, that would surely shorten a whole lot of board meetings if we could resolve conflict quickly and effectively.
Yes.
And finally, freely develop and support others. Now, I thought those six were some quite interesting constructs in terms of how you lead ethically and lead with integrity. Thoughts on those statements?
I also think it's a very nice list. And I think many of those could fall very easily under the banner of being a good role model. That if you're a good role model, you don't avoid the conflict. You deal with it. That of course you deliver on promises. You set the standards. What I often add in terms of though being a role model is that we look at a role model and we sort of got the gist of what it should be. I like to use slightly different words that I think are stronger because I think we have need of more movement in this space. And I would really say, can we start with the word ethics champion? Are you an ethics champion? If you are a champion for anything, that means that you're really using every opportunity to speak up, to stand up, to really make the point wherever you had an opportunity. But the word I like best, it's a different combination, is really the term ethics activist. And I use the example to say that in our country, we have seen, social activists who have had the most awesome impact in our country. I mean, truly, truly wonderful impact. I think now we need the ethics activist who is standing up, who is really speaking up loudly in favor of this. I think that is the sort of push we need. So I would take role model and stretch it right into ethics activist.
Ethics activist.
Question for you, just on that point, where should this activist come from? Do they come from the outside or from within the organization? And I'll tell you why I ask this, because we saw in 2008, on Wall Street, the banks collapsing because of the unethical behavior that had taken place. You know that if you're a whistleblower, either you're going to lose your job, you're going to be in other serious trouble. So where do the champions come from in this regard?
Look, it's optimal that the ethics activists really come from our leadership ranks.
Okay.
Having said that, recognizing leadership not as 3.5 people at the top of the organization, but recognizing those people who exert influence, whether it's formally or informally, for example, via the sort of amazing Twitter following that Cliff Central is sitting with. So we need to recognize leadership much broadly. Mm-hmm. And I think there is real risk and real challenge in us standing up individually. And I always say, but why do it individually? I'll stand next to you. Mm. And again, that standing together, align ourselves with the organizations who are raising these issues. I'm truly respectful of the risk that can be associated with individual action. But we're actually all leaders in our own spheres, whether in our homes, our communities, or the like. And if we all stood up, would it make a difference? Absolutely.
Certainly, sure. But the question also is this, I'm thinking of, the greater public out there. Should they also care in terms of how companies conduct themselves, what values they subscribe to? Because if you're a shareholder, really all you look for is your dividend statement at the end of the quarter. Are there tools, that one could utilize to see where each of these investments that one makes fall within the ethics spectrum?
I think it's a very pertinent issue. And the answer is yes. That yes, you can look at the dividends. But if it's in an unethical environment, the likelihood is that those dividends are not necessarily sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so looking at accurate and credible ethics assessment is really important. And again, this is not simply the world according to Cynthia. Mm-hmm. We're sitting with the Companies Act Search and Ethics Committee. We're sitting with King III advocating and requiring this legally. I think it is a simple tool that is not being effectively utilized so that you as an investor could look at an ethics assessment and make an informed decision around the ethical status of that organization. Again, if we take it back to Richard's question of leveraging the value of ethics, when you can really put it out there and quantify it, look at how strong ethics is in this organization. Can you leverage that value? Is it a value? Hell yes.
But we don't have a scorecard of sorts that says organization Y is at 10.
But the assessment can give you that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to do an online ad, but you do have assessments that will literally, reliably quantify the ethics in your organization?
And I think, you know, we talk about the triple bottom line and measuring various things in an organization. And I think as we get further and further into the world of what we call integrated reporting of annual financial statements, along with other measures in the triple bottom line of people, planet, and profits,
yes,
the reality is that the whole ethics question actually starts moving up the ranking, because not only is it a people issue, it's also ethical behavior relative to planet and resources and
yes,
the likes. And then it ultimately has an impact on the financials.
Totally. Indeed.
Ultimately. So, yeah, a very deep thought needs to go into the structure of integrated reporting and whether we shouldn't be putting an ethics measurement of some sort,
yes,
into those integrated reports. And there are a number of corporates that actually have already started doing ethics measurements and putting it into reports, and they do it via statements in the chairman's report, or say, this
yes,
is what we believe in, this is what we do. But they're not actually putting in the, let's call it, the measurables.
Yes.
And that's the part that's seriously missing.
And it's so, not that yeah, hard to do.
A challenge to the corporate world out there and to businesses in general. Think about how you measure your ethics and create the importance. Okay, well, thank you, Cynthia. Thank you for your time. We really appreciate you spending time with us. That was Cynthia Schumann from USB Ed joining us, talking about integrity and honesty and how we operate and lead by example. Next up, we're going to be chatting with the MD of BDO Statute Corps about the practical elements of corporate governance in SMEs.
This is CliffCentral.com.